You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to Atlanta Baseball Talk and show number 395. Today is April 2nd, and my name is Hamilton. Happy late Easter and late April Fool's Day to all of you out there. Sorry we're a day late in getting this to you. We appreciate your patience. No Stevie
late,
tonight.
Late Passover as well.
Yes. Oh, sorry. Thanks, Kurt.
Yes.
No Stevie tonight. He is in Florida looking for a potential fifth and sixth catcher. So it's just Curtis, as you heard. So let's get right to it. But before we do, remember, you can find us always at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com. You can find us also at BlogTalkRadio.com, where you can also find a wide range of other awesome podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk. Check out our Facebook page. And finally, as always, help spread the word about the show. Give us a review or a rating on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you find us. It takes 2 seconds. It would mean a lot to us. And follow along on Twitter as we talk about each game throughout the week.
So only if it's a good rating, though. Don't give us a one star. We don't need that.
Sorry. We have a few of those. Some of Steve's solo show has brought us down. So tonight we're going to talk about the highs and lows of our opening series. We're going to pretend we're not seeing the score of tonight's Nats game. But we did not take that into account when we did our shots in the dark. But we're going to talk about the highs and lows from the opening series, our surprises and disappointments of the opening day roster, and what is the Braves' perfect lineup at this point. Plus, we'll do shots in the dark in the week ahead. But first, a quick break. All right, Curtis. So, as I said, the Braves are opening their series against the Nats as we record this, so let's just focus on the series against the Phillies, and what a series it was. So a couple of points from this. As of yesterday, the Braves had scored 27 runs and had a run differential of 15 runs, both tops in all of baseball. Technically, there was another team that had a run differential of 15 runs, but that was the Phillies, and it was a negative.
Booby,
na 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 na. Dansby is hitting .357 after hitting .156 last April and essentially never recovering. And maybe most celebratory, we are above .500 for the first time since June 1st, 2015, when we were 26-25. Cue the sweep to the Nats. It's heady times, I'll tell you. It really speaks to where we are, because just in terms of uncertainty and so many ifs, on opening day, you know, I think we were all, I know Steve went, but we were following the game from work, and we were down 5-0 in the top of the sixth, and I was convinced that all of our season win projections were too high, that we were going to fall on our face and just lose the season. And then we rallied, and we win, which was just so amazing. And then I'm equally convinced that we are going to sneak into the playoffs and make a bunch of noise. So the takeaway is that we are there. There is reason to be hopeful and to be invested in the day-to-day games of this team, and that is saying something. I don't think we have said that for quite some time. And the team is exciting. Even the new guys are fun to watch. So, Kurt, what about you? Let's talk about the whole series. What is one of your, I don't know, two, couple of your big positive takeaways from the Phil series?
Definitely the scoring the runs obviously is a huge one. After the first, whatever it was, 5-6 innings in the first game, you were sort of convinced that they were never going to score a run all season long. And they didn't get a ton, like the first two games, it didn't feel like they got a ton of hits. They just got really timely hits. I actually went to the second game on Saturday and they lost. So I'm clearly not going to a game for the rest of the season.
Thank you. You're welcome, everybody.
Bad luck strikes again. But they were one bad Peter Borges slide away from sweeping the Phillies. They should have. Could have won that game as well. Yeah. And then the final game on Saturday, just the explosion, the offensive explosion in that game. So the offense obviously is that's exciting because there were a lot of, as you said, there's a lot of sort of backup players. There's a lot of journeyman players. There's a lot of guys with a lot of question marks around them in this lineup. And so it was nice for them to see them go out and score some runs. And you know, the starting pitching was pretty decent itself too. So, you know, it's sort of one of those, how much of a grain of salt do you take, because it's the Phillies and Gabe Kapler is going to manage the team squarely into the ground really quickly
without many pitchers left after April.
Yeah. I mean, challenging every call and just, the nonsensical way that that whole series operated under his tutelage. But yeah, it was a fun series. It was great. You know, you were worried that first game when they're just getting killed there, that I know it's the first game, but everything sort of feels like it can set a tone, and to come out and be so flat and to just get walked for the most of that game, that I feel like really would have set a bad tone for the season.
It's so true. And especially, I mean, you can only beat the teams that you're in front of you, right? And considering last season the Phillies really owned us, it was nice to just, you know, they're a division rival, I would say, more than any other team. They are sort of our benchmark, right? I mean, we're sort of in the same place in our rebuild. And I think if we're doing better than the Phillies, that's saying something. And I totally agree. I mean, the first day, my three takeaways, I was really excited to see Ozzie hit a homer in the first game. I thought that was great. And then Markakis, right? I don't think that may be the only homer we see all season, but for him to have his first walk-off homer and just see the guys all so excited and just the energy there was great. And you mentioned those journeymen. I mean, I don't think we were excited for Preston Tucker, but he delivered. And Ryan Flaherty was a cast-off just, you know, a week ago, and to see him come in and be the second best hitter on our team for those first three games, again, a small sample size, that's great, and that's the type of stuff we're going to need to be competitive, because like you said, we are not a all-star lineup like the Nats or the Yankees or some of those teams, so we need those guys to contribute. It was great to see. And you're right, it wasn't all great. I mean, there were some things that I would like to have seen go better. I didn't love, you know, I was really excited to see what Tehran and Folty were going to bring to start the season, especially what we saw in spring training, and it wasn't there. You worry about Tehran again and his struggles at home. Folty was not as sharp as he had been through most of the spring training, so that was disappointing. I don't know what else. Anything disappoint you that you sort of are worried about coming out of that first series?
Yeah, Tehran wasn't terrible, and you know, I almost only give him two of those runs because and I can't even remember who it was that came in. Was it Brothers? I can't remember who came in to relieve him and was just awful.
Well, it was just he faced two batters but walked both of them.
Yeah, and. Yeah. So, you know, Tehran wasn't awful. Folty, that's the game I was at, and it was a couple of home runs. You know, he hung a couple of pitches, and there was a couple of sort of seeing eye hits that didn't really help him out, but he was not great. And that was obviously a big one. There's nothing that's sort of that's glaring. I'm looking at Albie's numbers, which, you know, he obviously had a big home run. He went 3 for 16. So, 2 for 16, sorry, for the first three games. So, I mean, it's a pretty small sample size, but obviously that's what we're working with right now. So you hope that gets better. but a lot of these guys that I was, you know, you're concerned about, you hope that they'll transition to being effective bench players. Obviously the injury to Flowers is not great, and that sounds like it's going to be something where he's going to be out for a couple of weeks. And then the game that I was at, Suzuki got hit on the hand, so you're sort of dipping down pretty quickly into the third string quarterback, the third string catcher,
and now
which
four
is
string.
Yeah, right. And now they picked up a four string. They got rid of Detlef Schrempf. they traded him to the Angels for
Carlos Perez.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's a concern.
It's
obvious. There are expectations, as crazy as they are, about Tyler Flowers in this offense and his contributions. So you don't want him out for an extended period of time.
No, I mean, they were one of the bright spots last year. You know, him and Suzuki had the highest WAR of any catcher combo in the league, right? So we need those guys. I mean, I guess it's good that we're able to find veteran guys who are hopefully not a negative WAR, who can handle the pitchers, call a good game, and just, you know, just be serviceable within that spot. But it is definitely it's definitely troubling, especially, you know, an older catcher like Flowers. I mean, he's a little bit older. Those obliques can really just linger and hang, and then who knows even when he's back how effective he is. So that's definitely a concern. You know, the only other thing I was concerned about, and we'll talk about this when we get to the lineup, is that Freddie had 7 walks, and certainly you want your guys to walk. That's good for your OBP, but I think it really speaks to how quickly the lineup drops after Freddie and how people are just going to pitch around him if we don't have. And even when we had Matt Kemp last year, as bad as he was, it was something to sort of give him a little bit of insurance. And certainly when Kemp was doing well, we know how well Freddie did. So maybe Acuna when he comes up. I mean, I have concerns about throwing him into the 4th spot. I don't think we'll do that. But I think we lack a cleanup hitter, and I think that was evident just by how much Freddie was pitched around, even though he did homer in that first game.
Yeah, it was pretty noticeable on Saturday that they were not going to give him anything remotely close to hit. And the other thing I'm just noticing is the 3 starts, all the starting pitchers basically went 5 innings, which I know it's the first start of the season and they're still getting ramped up, but you don't want to have to rely on the bullpen having to pitch 4 innings.
No, not our bullpen. I mean, Tehran still pitched, he still threw 90 pitches. So, yeah.
But he only gave up 4 hits. I mean, I I'm staring at the stats right now. So, I don't know that I totally throw all that on Tehran. I don't think he was terrible by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, you love him. Let's hope that he's not terrible at home, because we certainly can't afford that if we are going to be sneaky. All right, so let's talk about our opening day roster and then the lineup construction, since we're sort of dancing around it now. So first of all, just some news here. The Braves are continuing to be active in changing the roster around, partly due to injuries to the catchers, also to make room for our 5th starter, Scott Kazmir. Ha ha, that was my late April Fool's joke. That would have been so much funnier yesterday, but you know we can't pass up. No,
not really.
Not really. It's a Scott Kazmir joke. We can't pass those up.
I mean, if you're going to dog out my steak a la Borges jokes, then I'm not giving you anything on Kazmir.
Okay, fine. Agree to disagree there. So in truth, our 5th starter will be Anibal Sanchez. So as you recall,
Monday.
No, that was Newcomb today.
Yeah, but Sanchez pitched in this game.
He did? I have no idea. This is not happening in my mind. We'll get to that next week. And it's Sanchez. So we brought on Chris Stewart as our 3rd catcher, which, thank God, because we need him. Lane Adams did make the roster. Danny Santana did not make the roster. Late additions, Peter Stig Borges and Ryan Flaherty did make the roster. Rio Ruiz did not. And
which is sort of the end of Rio Ruiz.
I mean, we have spent so many words on him across the history of this show, all for naught, and I totally agree. Like you mentioned, we traded Ryan Swing and Miss Shrimp to the Angels for Carlos Perez, who will most likely stay on the roster until Flowers is back. And then Camargo and Acuna are on the horizon. Mark Bowman reported that Flaherty, being one of the better early Braves hitters, that maybe Camargo even starts in Gwinnett just to make sure he's healthy. But that's just, you know, delaying that inevitable decision. And for Acuna, I guess it seems that Lane Adams would probably be the odd man out, who, of course, promptly homered on Sunday. So, Curtis, as you looked at the opening day roster, any surprises, any disappointments on, you know, who we started with?
Not really. You know, aside from the discussion about Acuna, which we had, and I didn't really have any problem with that. You know, not to joke. I know we've joked around about this a couple of times.
We don't joke on the show, Kurt. This is
I sort of would have liked to see Dustin Peterson get a chance. I mean, Lane Adams, we've sort of seen Lane Adams. Lane Adams is awful this spring. So,
yeah.
You know, I guess that was one of the small ones. And at first I was sort of questioning keeping three catchers around. Obviously that's worked out to their benefit now. and of course they want, given how well, Suzuki and Flowers both hit last year, they wanted to have the option of one of them being a pinch hitter, because obviously you can't pinch hit your backup catcher in case something happens. So that's clearly why they kept three guys around.
Yeah. And the Lane Adams thing, it's just, I think it's the rules of baseball, right? It's he's on a major league contract, so it's just easier to keep him than it would have been to make a move and bring up either Santana, who had a good spring, or my favorite, Dustin Peterson. So, you know, I think it certainly seems that whole contract thing certainly seems to work against putting the best team on the field, but it is what it is, right? And so we're just sort of stuck with it. But I have a feeling that when Acuna's up, that we will not see Lane Adams much longer.
Yeah, and like, you know, hopefully Ryan Flaherty has the same desires to pay back every other team in Major League Baseball as much as he does the Phillies.
Yeah.
So he will bat 560 the entire season. But I think that a lot of these guys, you know, by the end of the season, guys like Flaherty and Borges and Preston Tucker, they're going to prove to be sort of where they are.
Yeah.
Over their careers as major league players, you know, I mean, they're not going to be guys that are going to bat 330 or 340. They're going to be guys that are going to bat 230 or 240. And so really you're just hoping that when they get up there that, you know, they have a good at bat and maybe they get you a hit every once in a while off the bench. And that's what they are. I mean, I'm not going out. I don't feel embarrassed to say I did not know much about any of these bench guys other than reading their numbers, reading sort of, you know, background on who they were. And it's, you know, not the most impressive collection of major league players. No, so
they're just holding slots.
Sure. So, yeah.
You think we'll see Whistler or Blair again in any kind of meaningful service time?
I can't imagine, unless something catastrophic happens to two or three of the starting pitchers. But it's like Rio Ruiz, frankly. They've been given opportunities time and time and time again, and every single time they're given the opportunity, they unfortunately sort of fall on their faces. Whistler still is the one that the most disappoints me, because of that great season he had when he first came up. You know, I mean, we were all in love with Whistler
totally.
When he was first here. We thought he was going to be Tom Glavine or something, and
the next Medlin or even Maddox. And he just had that kind of, you know, competitive.
So,
just,
it's disappointing. I guess the one that I sort of laugh about is Peter Moylan coming back and being on the team. And, you know, it's like, how many times can you retread Peter Moylan? So we'll see if he's got any junk left in his arm and can, you know, be a situational pitcher for him.
He did it for the Royals last year, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure he'll blow his elbow out within the next couple of weeks.
Sure.
Yeah, I think the book is closed on Whistler, Blair, and Rio, sadly. So, all right, let's talk about opening day lineup. So a lot of people in the media, and I count ourselves, sort of creamed Snitty, for batting Markakis fourth on opening day. Of course, then he, as they said, that analysis didn't age well as the game progressed. But here was our opening lineup on our opening day lineup. It was Ender first, Ozzie, Freddie, Cakes, Flowers, Preston Tucker, needs a nickname, Lieutenant Dans, Ryan Flaherty, and then Julio, or as I like to call him, I can't pitch in Atlanta, and I know you love him, so just shut up. So
that's a catchy nickname.
It is. There's an abbreviation, ICPA, which I'm working on. So that was essentially the same lineup on Friday with the great Suzuki. That's another one. I'm trying.
These are good.
Yeah, thank you. I was working on them all week. He obviously filled in for Flower Power. I'm going to keep going. And then Chris Stewie Stewart was our catcher on Sunday, and he batted eighth, and that moved up Tucker, Dans, and Riverdance. I was working on that for Flaherty, but I'm still working on these. So, you know, I mean, I think we have to admit that this is not a lineup that just sets itself, right? I mean, I think in the past we have had lineups where you just sort of press play and you knew who was going to be where, and we had a true number three, a true number four, and all that. I don't think we have that now. So, you know, what are your thoughts on the lineup? How would you mix things up? And, you know, even when Camargo is back and Acuna are up, what do you think? What do you think the most competitive lineup for the Braves is?
Well, I know we've discussed this time and time again, but I cannot for the life of me understand why they refuse to bat Freddie Freeman cleanup. I know they want to get him more at bats. Maybe I'm answering my own question here, but
it's the argument. I mean,
obviously they want him batting in the first inning and getting as many bats as they can. And the old argument that you always best your best batter. That's hard to say. Mm-hmm. Third, but he's also our cleanup hitter. Wherever they bat him, he is the guy that should be the cleanup hitter in this lineup. So I was really hoping that Ozzy could be our leadoff man. I think Ender would be a dynamic two hitter with Ozzy. But Ozzy tonight, again, he's 0 for 3. His batting average, he struck out twice. His batting average is now down to 1.05. So I think shortly you're going to see Ozzy dump to 8.
Just like Dansby did.
Yes, absolutely. And maybe Dansby moves up to 2, although he's 0 for 3 tonight too. And it's not Scherzer. It's Tanner Roark. But, you know, if I were just currently what we have, this is sort of what I would do. Ozzy, Ender, and this is in the perfect world, too. Flaherty, given how hot he's hitting right now. Freeman, Markakis, Dansby, Suzuki, Tucker.
Wow.
That's what I would have.
Camargo there? If Flaherty, I mean...
Yeah, I mean, I would probably throw Camargo like 6 and then just move, I guess maybe move Markakis to 3rd, move out Flaherty and put Camargo into 6. And then when Acuna comes up, maybe bat him 2nd and move and keep Ender at 1st. But I still...
We're incomplete.
There's a lot of guys that don't have sort of natural spots. You want them to. Obviously, Ozzy to me, I mean, I'm not that Ender's not a great leadoff man, but Ozzy to me seems like he would be the ideal leadoff bat.
I guess so. I mean, I hear you. It's a good case. I love Ender at the top of the lineup. I love seeing him first one out. I just love the energy that he brings, the way that he just, you know, can stretch a single into a double, take that extra base. I think he's just more seasoned than Ozzy is at this point, maybe ultimately. But I like Ender there. I'm with you. I want Ozzy to do better because I think his mix of power and speed and hopefully, you know, batting average and all those things serve him at 2. You know, I think I don't want this to happen this season because I worry about the pressure that this might bring. But I think you put Acuna at 3rd and then you can put Freeman at 4th. I think the reason the Braves do that is we just don't have a good number 3 or a number 4 hitter, right? And I think if you have to choose one, conventional wisdom is you put Freeman at 3rd. But I think if you could have Acuna there, Freddie behind him, I think that's an interesting lineup. I put Dansby 4th. I put our catcher.
You mean
fifth. Dansby 5th.
Right. Okay.
Then Camargo. Then catcher. And now I've forgotten who I'm not including in this whole thing. I guess I put Markakis 6. Maybe 5, depending on the matchup. But I think he's a 5-6 hitter. He's definitely not a cleanup hitter. And then Camargo and Flowers round out the lineup. It's just a mess, right? And it's just, I don't think we're really, I think Snicker would even admit he doesn't love the pieces that he has to put a lineup together. So I don't hate him for what he's doing. I mean, I think it's, you know, given who we have in the situation and trying to win, I think he's putting our best lineup out there. I just think he's playing with half deck. And I think Steve would appreciate that comment.
Yeah. And really, who would you not? I mean, who in the current iteration of what we have, who are you taking out? Who are you putting in? I mean, after Flaherty's series against the Phillies, he's got to stay in there. After Preston Tucker's series, you've got to leave him in here, you know.
But not so, over Acuna.
No. But yeah. I mean, I'm just saying current.
Oh, sure.
Situation that is. I mean, that's just where you are. I mean, none of these guys are going to be starting. I mean, I think even if Camargo gets sent to Gwinnett for tuning up, when he gets here, he's still going to be starting over Flaherty, don't you think? I mean,
I think so. I mean, I think Flaherty, like you said, this is a hot going up against a team that he had something to prove against, but I don't think he's got that's sustainable. And I think you put him two or three, it puts too much pressure on him and he quickly comes back to earth.
Sure.
And I'd say same with Tucker. I think you want him 7-8 just to take all the pressure off of him. I don't know. It's an exciting team. I mean, I don't think that this was a flash in the pan, this series against the Phillies, but we are definitely not there yet. And maybe.
Well, but I think realistically, sorry to cut you off, but I think realistically, I think that the Braves, and it's sort of, you know, I don't know what I'm trying to think of some sort of cute reference to make, and I all the ones that are coming to my head are probably not PC, but
stick,
you know, to finish second in the NL East, it's an accomplishment, but it's sort of, you know, faint praise, but I think that that's a realistic expectation that they can have. Now you might be able to finish second and then at least winning 80 games.
Yeah, it's true.
You know,
I'm not bought into the Mets. I think they have a lot of question marks just as much.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
So I think that's something that they should attempt and they should strive for. I mean, the playoffs still seems to me out of touch, and obviously you're not making the playoffs being under 500, which I still think in best case scenario is where they're going to end up. But I think second in the division, especially if the team that you're, I mean, I have not bought into the Mets at all. I felt like the Phillies was going to be a team, and I know it's one series, but they look like a train wreck. And especially with Gabe Kapler, I know I already touched on this. I mean,
it was embarrassing.
Amateur hour.
Yeah. And that whole pitching thing where his pitcher wasn't warmed up and then Snicker getting ejected for complaining about it was just a fiasco. It was embarrassing. And for the ump to have to take pity on the Phillies, and you know, hearing the ump talk about it and saying, listen, if I allow that to happen, that guy increases his chance of injuries, and I don't want that on my conscience. So I appreciate that in some ways, but what a clown show.
Well, and he's going to burn his bullpen up, you know, by the middle of May or something. I mean, you can't just go in and out of throw every guy you have in your bullpen in every single game. I mean, it's lunacy.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's going to be an interesting season. It will be an interesting season. All right, Curtis, let's move on to our listeners' favorite segment, Shot in the Dark, in the week ahead. But let's take a quick break first. All right, folks, it's time for Shot in the Dark. We need some music there, I feel like. I'm going to work on that, along with my nickname. So I'm done with all the nicknames.
I was thinking we should just get Match Game.
Ooh, okay.
Theme music, right?
I'm sure that's free. So this is where we make...
If they find us.
Yeah, I know. That's so true.
We'll stop running it.
Yeah, that would actually be one of the highlights of our career. So this is where we make crazy, crazy predictions about the week ahead and then check back in on them to see how we did. So let's start with a look back at last week's Shot in the Dark. And we'll start with our listener shots. And yes, shots plural, because we were so excited. We picked two shots in the dark. Our first shot came from Andre J. He said that both Freeman and Swanson would homer on opening day. He was half right. Freeman did his part. So almost Andre J, but not quite. Thanks for playing. Our second shot came from listener Logan Quinton, who I bet gets Quinton Logan. sometimes because that's what people do with names like that. And I speak from experience.
Also having two first names.
Yes, exactly.
I know as well.
Especially since one of your good friends has your last name as their first name.
That's true.
Logan, I'll just stick with that, predicted that Folty would have double-digit Ks against the Phillies on Friday night. He missed it by 3. He only had 7. So close, Quentin, or Logan. Better luck next time, and thanks again for playing.
Logan Quentin.
Yes. We just lost a listener. So now for ours. So I'll start with mine. I predicted that Tehran and Folty would give up 3 or earned runs or less combined in their 2 starts. Nope. They gave up 7 combined. Tehran 4, Folty 3. Steve said that Dansby would get on base 6 times. In the Phillies series, he was very close as Dansby got on base 5 times, but not close enough to win.
You'd have a fight on your hands if he was here.
No, I know. I'm going to talk about his prediction for next week because I know he's going to fight me on it. Kurt, you said that the Braves would hit 6 homers in this series, and they were halfway there in the opening game, but surprisingly only got 1 more to finish with 4. So no winners, no listener winners, no host winners, no winners. So let's turn it around this week, and let's start with our listener shot in the dark. So since we're recording this a day late, we've already picked our listener shot in the dark for the week. And I got to say, there were a lot of great ones out there, so please keep them coming. We picked one from Mickey Hodges, and he is predicting that Albies and Swanson will hit over 333 and commit 0 errors. So let's not spoil it for him in our first game, Curtis. If only that could be true. So for the rest of you, remember, you have a chance all season to win amazing prizes or an amazing prize. If you submit a shot in the dark, we pick it and you hit it. So make them good and win something amazing, just like Mickey will. All right, let's look at our shots in the dark. So we'll start with Steve's. So Steve said that Folty would record more strikeouts and give up fewer earned runs in his start against Scherzer this week. And if any of our loyal listeners know, this means that Folty will not actually end up pitching against Scherzer, and then there will be some kerfuffle, and Steve will say he won anyway. But let's just assume, because last year he'd picked this, and then there was a swap in starts, and Folty, and he still claimed that he won, because Steve cheats. Anyway, boo Steve. So, but he says Folty, more strikeouts, fewer earned runs if he pitches against Scherzer. Kurt, what do you got?
Ozzie Albies with 7 or more extra base hits.
Wow.
He's off to a ringing start.
He's got some work to do.
Yeah.
I stayed away from the Nats series. So I predict that in the Rockies series, we will hit more homers and our starters will give up fewer earned runs than the Rockies do. That is mine.
Well, after looking these up, you might be onto something.
Oh, good. That would be a first. All right. Well, good luck to you, Curtis. Good luck maybe to Steve, Mickey, everyone. Let's hit these shots in the dark because it would mean a good week for the Braves. All right. So, Curtis, let's close it up and let's take a look at the week ahead. So you want to break down our pitching matchups for us? Obviously, tonight is hopefully behind us soon.
Yeah, I have all these awesome stats about how terrible Tanner Roark was last year, but we are now doing this. This is me crossing that information out. I know that we have 6 games this week. I feel like there's a day off because all this day is off at the beginning of the year. Tomorrow is AJ Cole against Tehran. AJ Cole's first start of the year will be tomorrow. Last year, he was 3-5 with a 3.81 ERA, a 1.5 WHIP, but against the Braves, not so good. 1-2 with a 5.87 ERA, a 5.60 batting average against, and a 15.75. That's his career. That was his ERA last year against the Braves. Sorry, this went so great. Much better when I wrote it down. against the Braves, I'm onto it now. 5.60 batting average against, 15.75 ERA. This is in his career against the Braves. 4 innings pitched, 12 runs. So that looks good.
Yes.
Yeah. Last of the series is the Can I Buy a Vowel series game against Folty against Scherzer. We all know who Max Scherzer is. He's one of the best pitchers in baseball. he's had one start this year where he was completely dominant. Six scoreless innings on Friday. He gave up five hits and a walk, struck out 10 in a 2-0 win against the Reds. So then we move. Yeah. That will be always a tough task against Scherzer. So then we move on to Denver and the Rockies. German Marquez will get Brandon McCarthy in his second start.
Marquez has had. We didn't talk about him. I mean, we talked about Folding Tehran. He looked great. Yeah.
You did. So Marquez is a really good young pitcher for the Rockies. He's had one start this year. He gave up one unearned run on four hits and four walks over five innings, struck out four, got a no decision against the Diamondbacks in his first start. They won 2-1. Basically, he has a 95-mile-an-hour fastball that he mixes up with an 81-mile-an-hour curveball, which I can't imagine making that adjustment. Ooh, so,
good Lord, that's like a changeup.
Yeah. That indeed. So then we get Newcomb's second start. Hopefully it's better than his first start against Chad Bettis, who I don't know if that's Jerome's little brother, but we get Chad Bettis.
I hope so, just for entertainment purposes.
As of right now, I'm assuming he will maybe not have a start, but he has not had a start yet this year. In 2017, he was 2-4 with a 5.05 ERA, a 1.36 WHIP. Last year against Atlanta, he was 0-1 with a 3.75 ERA. He gave up five earned and two homers in the 12 innings pitched against the Braves.
I am liking this.
And then the last game against the Rockies, Tehran again against Kyle Friedland.
Good Lord, what happened?
Household
to the
name.
Yeah. Didn't they fight for the wild card last year?
Right.
Didn't they play? Yeah.
And they are 1-2, and I think looked pretty awful. And other than, I guess, the Marquez start, they look pretty terrible. So, again, Freeland has not had a start in 18. In 17, he was 11-11 with a 4.10 ERA, which pitching for the Rockies is pretty good. Gives up lots of home runs and walks a lot of guys. 63 base on balls, 17 homers. His career against Atlanta, 0-0. With a 5.25 ERA, 12 innings pitched, 7 earned runs, a 3.11 batting average against.
Wow.
And any time I get to mention 3.11 on the show is a great day.
Yes. I'm liking my shot in the dark. I was going to say that we were getting the back end of their rotation, but I don't even know what
the front end is.
What's the front end?
And this could also be a patented Braves killer.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Exactly. Oh, I'm prepared for that, as always. All right. So I don't think we did predictions at the beginning of this for the Phillies series, but let's bring them back. So I say we go – I say 4-2. We got some work to do against the Nats, and obviously we have to win against Scherzer, but I thought we were going to win the first two, and I thought we'd take two out in Colorado.
It is currently on Monday night. It is 8-1.
Woo. Here comes the comeback.
Nationals, if that wasn't already key on.
All right, we need Markakis. Come on, Markakis. 7-run homer. All right, I say 4-2. What do you got?
I'm going to go 3-3. I think we only take one of these games against the Nats and then somehow pull out two in Colorado.
All right. I'm going to just speak for Steve since he did not submit his projections. He says we go 8-0.
8-0. I like it.
8-0. Counting tonight. Great. All right, folks. That is the show. Thank you for listening. And remember, find us on our home at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com, BlogTalkRadio.com. Follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk. Check us out on Facebook. Give us some likes. Send us some praise. Give us some nice ratings. And tell your friends about the show. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great week and go Braves.
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com. Had to admit the problem.